You might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bend head and heart in your presence. Thank you very, very much. God, take all that you would have for our head and our heart and implant it, impregnate it, truth into our life, that we would be the always beneficiaries of such. God, thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. We share together the Lord Jesus giving his, John giving us the second miracle that he did. The first one, very, very public, the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children, that's 15,000 or so. That he did, very, very public. The second one is very, very private, out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And he went and created the storm. He used the storm to instruct the disciples, to educate them on who he was and what he could do. Here's not only his provision he could provide, but his power he had able to do. Now, and so, in the light of that, and it was nighttime, getting late, and in the process, I'll read verse 22. And the day following, that is the next day, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save except that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Now, in the process of that, remember now, it is the night next day, and they were all dismissed, went to the villages for the night. They're hanging around. They aren't. It's nighttime anyway, so they're there. And in the process, they have seen the one boat down there, the one ship boat down by the dock, as it were. And they saw the disciples enter the boat ship and head out to sea. They also saw that the Lord Jesus was not with them, and he stayed with the crowd. And then he got through the crowd out into a mountain up to the hillside all by himself. Now they knew that. So now comes the next day in the morning, and they're all there. And after all, if the chef can give you a wonderful supper, why not a wonderful breakfast? And so they're all there, back there in the morning to continue, because they wanted to make him king, remember? In verse 14 and 15, they wanted to make him king. So now, here he is, and they're there, and as they come, they see the storm has brought in boats from Tiberias that were out there, and the boats have pulled into the same area where they were. And in the process of that, they were looking for the Lord, but they couldn't find him. They knew that he stayed. He didn't go with his disciples. They knew that. And he told them, as they tried to force him, to carry him forward to be their king, he did not allow that to happen. And so now, having said that, looking around, he isn't there. And then the question arises, well, where is he? In verse 25. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. So they came to the same place. There were boats were there that weren't there the other day. Verse 24. When the people, therefore, saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Now, they had an inkling. He wasn't there, but wherever his disciples are, he isn't going to be far away. So his disciples headed out to Capernaum, up there in the north part of the Sea of Galilee, coming westward. And so therefore, they figured he must be there. If we find them, we'll find him. And therefore, in doing so, they all got aboard, as many as they could, got aboard all these ships that pulled in, and they sailed over to Capernaum. They did. So now, having got there, and in verse 25, so they're looking for the Lord Jesus. Find the disciples, you'll find them. And verse 25, when they had found him on the other side, remember now he's going to be in the synagogue in Capernaum for all the stuff that happens. And verse 25, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, which in the Gospel of John has to do not with master, great one, but has to do with teacher. Rabbi, when camest thou hither? When did you come here? When? When did you do that? That's the question. How? When did you get here? You didn't come with your disciples. You didn't come with us. And you wouldn't have made the journey at night all the way from Bethsaida over to the other side. You didn't do. When did you get here? When did you get here? That's what they wanted to know. The question. And, of course, the Lord, in this case, doesn't answer them. He does not answer them at all. Remember now, they have seen the, in chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, they have bear the two loaves and the five barley loaves and the two small fishes and all the feeding that was there. And they all saw the wonderful wonderment of what he had done as he broke the bread and the baskets were full and the baskets went up and down, all those people in groups and up and down, and they all ate and they all out. Whenever anyone took anything out of the basket was full again, and on it went. And they all participated in the marvel, the miracle that took place. So now, having said that, and they want to know where, when he got there, and of course they are not answering. He's not going to answer them. Now, then in the process, verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. So you have the wrong way. He didn't answer their question when. He answered, why? Why are you asking yourself, why are you looking for me? Why do you want me? You wanted to make me, remember chapter 6 and in verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived, 6 and 15, that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Over to chapter 6 and in verse 26. Therefore, he said, do you know why? Why are you here? And the reason you're here is not a good one. It's not a good reason. You're here because in your world, Rome is in charge. Herod's in charge over there. Herod's not a good guy. The Pontius Pilate, that's Rome. Rome is dominating this whole system. And so here's their concerns about Rome, about power, about the benefits, the taxes and everything. And they were looking for answers for their world. They were looking for someone, and here is this one, markedly power, has power, provision, Boy, he's the one to help us in our world, work, home, school, for all that you want in your life, all that you feel that you should have, to overcome the obstacles and the opposition and the opponents, to overcome all of that. Wow, boy, he's the one. We need someone like that. And our world is headed for that now, you know. And so in the process, they were looking for their needs, for their stomach, not for their soul, materially, bread, material bread, not spiritual bread. Now, in the light of that, so their physical appetites are heightened, as it was in Rome, in 60 AD thereafter. Rome was in dire straits in one way. And the way they overcame that was by feasting, glutton, doing everything they could for entertainment, to gobble up, to consume, to have as much as we can, to overcome. Because in the light of that, in our troubled world, we are troubled, and we aren't finding satisfaction. Therefore, we're going to find it in the only way we can. We're going to try to take the world and the material world around us and consume it so that we are having things. We're finding satisfaction with a full stomach. We're finding satisfaction that our taxes will be paid. We're finding satisfaction in all kinds of ways. So we're looking for that. That's what they were doing, as it were. And they were not finding. The people of Israel were not doing good. They weren't doing good at all. They were hungry. Hungry for truth and life and love, but they didn't know where to find it. And they were rejecting the answer, the source, the doorway to walk through and have it. They rejected it. And thus they only took our Lord for all that he could do for them. Not what he could do in them and to them, what he could do for them. Now, having said that, you then come in verse 27. Labor not for the meat, for the food, which perisheth. Don't be laboring yourself. You're going, it's a command to work, the work done, being busy, being busy, bringing to pass, making things happen, making it all work out. Don't get so tied up in work done, laboring, to acquire by work and labor. You're going to get all tied up trying to get food. That's what you were in. You had your stomach filled, and it was, I'm sure you can imagine, if God turned that food, it would have been perfect loaves and perfect fishes. And they had that. So now, in the process of all of that, the Lord tells them a command: don't be laboring, don't be working for food which perishes. It's going to perish. You don't want to do that. You're putting your whole emphasis on here and now and not there and then. There is a there and then, isn't there? Do it another way, easier. Here we are right now. Do you believe that you are going to come to the month of April? Are you conscious that you are headed to April and there's no way around it? Do you understand? You're headed there. Now, how are you going to get out of it? Don't tell me. How are you going to get out of it? You're headed to April, aren't you? Right now, it's going to disappear. And 5 minutes from now, it's all gone, what we had, and we're in a new 5 minutes. It's perishing. It's disappearing. And we're headed. The food that we eat. What do we know about the food that we eat? What do we can do with it? Well, we know that we eat the food. And the food that you ate requires, and it's good. There's nothing like food to eat. But you know what? 2 or 3 days from now, you're going to be very hungry, and you're going to eat again. And besides, all the food that you took down your esophagus and stomach and small intestine, large intestine, and out colon, all that stuff, and down it goes, and then it goes in, and it's all gone, isn't it? It's all gone. And the lovely meal, just think of the meal. People put these meals, you know, and some of them have, especially in places where you, like, not friendlies or something, and you go in there, and they put the little ice cream, and then they have the whipped cream and a cherry, and then they have the, no, I don't know they do that, and then they have the little chocolate design strips coming out, maybe a little green leaf around it, and it looks, doesn't it look lovely? That looks lovely, right? And then you go, and whoop, and the plate's empty, and you say, well, I hate to lose the picture. So you say, oops, and then you bring it back up, and put it on the plate. I know you're all excited. What do you think of it now? How pretty is it now? It isn't. You chewed it and ate it, and down it goes, and now you're going to let it do its job. Hopefully some of it will get through your small intestines and give you some vitamins and stuff. And the rest of it's all gone. Your they were laboring and looking to satisfy their material needs. They're on an earthly movement in time. And if you do that with no prospect of tomorrow, you want being guided and governed in the light of tomorrow's coming, and you don't do it. Wow. And you know, one of the things we have, without getting into all that, one of the things that we have that's a huge distraction, a wonderful thing for the enemy, a good thing, but a wonderful thing for the enemy, and that's the smartphones and the computer and the texting and the ticking and all the other stuff. It occupies us. We're occupied. It's hard to get bored. At night, morning, noon, we're occupied. That's what we need to be. To sit alone, and think of the reality of the world around us. Not just a plane, not just a building. The world around us. And here's the Ukraine and all the Syria and Egypt and Israel and Russia and Europe and South America and North America, etc. Wow. We don't want to think about that. The economy, what's going on with the rules and regulations. No. But we have a smartphone and it occupies us and keeps us from having to think about the realities. Wow. Now, so in the process, labor not for the food that is perishing. Now, in order to get that a little better in your focus, in your mind, because he told them not to do that. You've made the emphasis here and now with no understanding of tomorrow. You aren't even thinking about tomorrow. And tomorrow's coming. Now, over, if you would please, to Matthew and chapter 6, the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to look at perishing. Perishing. Don't go for the food that perishes. And if I can, picking up, please, in Matthew chapter 6. You know it. May I go to verse 31 directly? Well, I'm going to do 6:25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought, don't be anxious, have a divided mind, take no thought, don't worry, for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and food, and the body more than clothing? Aren't you more than a stomach? And something to put clothes on? Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Therefore seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They'll be here. So don't make the emphasis here and now materially. Take in the light of the forever, make sure that relationship is focused on so that you can handle the present moment of time. And therefore the world doesn't have any place. These people coming to the Lord in Capernaum, that's where they are. They're trying to feed their belly and take care of their life in an earthly way. Over to chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And in chapter 15, please, may I go to verse 10. 15 and 10 of Matthew. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defiles the man. It isn't what goes in, it's what comes out. Down, if I may, over to verse 16. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications, thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. It isn't a problem of that at all. It's a problem what comes out of your heart. It's a heart problem, not a stomach problem. Therefore, and they're trying to daily survive, and they're cares and caring for their body, and for the person, they want to make sure they do everything they can to take care of themselves from a human standpoint so that we can go through another day. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And in Luke chapter 19, you would remember verse 9, remember Zacchaeus is up in the tree as the Lord is passing through the city. Crowds are all there looking at him, and he doesn't talk to anyone, just keeps walking right through. And in the process, he stops. Zacchaeus is up in the tree, and he stops and calls him down. Verse 19 and 9. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, L-O-S-T is the word perish. Perish. Labor not for the food that perisheth. That's disintegrating, disappearing. It's destroyed. It's no good. It's no good. Worthless. It's all gone. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost, of no value, no value, no value. It isn't that I can't find it, said the Lord. I know where everything is. It just has no value. And if you remember we used it, just think of your watch. If I take the mainspring, take the cell out of your watch, you can have your watch and wear it, but you know, it has lost its value. It has perished as far as telling time goes. You can't tell time anymore. You have the watch. It isn't that you don't have it. It has no value. It's worthless. Worthless. It isn't that I don't know people. They've lost their value. They don't understand the purpose I created them. And thus, verse 11, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So they didn't have anything of change in their life. They're just looking for the thing to get better without anything happening in the personal life to fix things and make your heart better. So now, chapter 12 of Luke, chapter 12. In chapter 12, picking up, please, and you would recall, remember the illustration, verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak, verse 13, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. Why? For a man's life consisteth, N-O-T, not in the abundance of things which he possesses. It isn't things. It isn't the material world. That isn't where life is. It isn't there. It isn't there. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater and bigger barns, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink and be merry. You're all set. You've made provision with the material things of life to continue. Verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Therefore, looking to God, what do you have? You're trying to get, what do you've got in your hand? And we shared it a while ago, remembering that everything that you can see, touch, taste, and smell, everything in this world system is perishable and terminal and going to disappear. And the pyramids, oh, they give it a shot to last through the centuries over there in Luxor, etc. They give it a shot, but they aren't meant to last. Nothing's meant to last. Nothing. Not in this life. It's all perishing. All perishing. You're looking to make something have, to have something. You're hanging on to the wrong stuff. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. You're hanging on to the wrong stuff. So now, verse 22, and he said unto him, Disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat, food, and the body is more than raiment. And so, having said that and keeping that in mind, over you to chapter 15. So far we've got on the things of life, the rich man trying to have a lot, and God trying to tell you it's all going to disappear, so you hang counting on the wrong stuff here. Every relationship you have is going to terminate in this life. Chapter 15 of Luke, going, if I can, remember the prodigal son is going to go, and the prodigal son is going to go and wants to feel his cheery oats and get out in the world and live like the world does and be like the world does and have what the world does and have a shot at things. And that's what he wanted. And thus, he asked for his inheritance, and off he went outside. And therefore, in the light of that, verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. So he wasn't doing well. It didn't take long for the world politic, the world power, to eat up everything. They aren't interested in your success. They're interested in their plural success. The world wants their success. And if you got it, they want it yours. They want what you have. Everyone wants something for themselves. That's the way it is. Now, so in the process, here he is. He's going to work. He's going to work in the pig pen. Verse 15. Verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swines did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'm perishing. Lost. Labor not for the things that perish. Well, you're perishing. Aren't you perishing? If the crowd in John 6 had paid attention, listen, you're always going to be hungry. After you eat, eventually you're going to be hungry again. Why not consider a pursuit that gives you a satisfaction so that you can handle you being hungry? You can handle heartache, headache, pain, sorrow, suffering, because you're satisfied with tomorrow's where you're headed. That helps you with today. He's perishing with hunger. Now, and thus he returns, remember, and you'll find the word again down in verse 24. And the father says, This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, that's the word perish, and is found. When he left, he got into things. The whole world around him was perishing. The whole world skinned him alive and left him so that he was physically perishing. And now he's come back to be a servant in my house when he's a son. Verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, perishing, and is found. They began to be merry. And they did. He's going to do it again. Verse 32. And it was meet a fitting that he should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost, perishing, and is found. Now, so you want to compare. Here's the world around you. Here they are. And you can either, what are you putting your value on? Your stomach, the system, the world system will supply. Supply what? What's it supply? Taxes? Taxes and heartache and headache. That's what it supplies. Now, and we can, how do we cope with taxes and everything? Have some more pizza. Have some more pizza. Have a full belly of pizza. And you can handle it. Now, so in the light of that, over to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Lord is trying to help them. The when and the why. They didn't understand why. And he's trying to help them with the what. What they should do. And here in chapter 3, the Gospel of John, you are familiar. Verse 15, 3 and 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not, there's your verb, should not perish. But on the other hand, should have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wonderful, wonderful life. They don't need to perish. They don't need to perish. You are perishing. You don't need to do so. You don't need to do so. Now, over if you would, back over to John chapter 6. And verse 27. Labor not, 27, labor not, don't be working for, bringing to pass, working effort, energy, not for the food which perishes, perishing, what you're putting the emphasis in the wrong place, but for that meat, food which endureth unto everlasting life, the wonderful food that lasts and heads to and makes for a wonderful life, a wonderful life, an extraordinary life in an most ordinary way. Wow. To have. I want you to get something. Put your efforts in to get something. And by the way, I want you to know, said the Lord to this crowd, They just said, "You guys got the wrong motivation. Your efforts are put out to everything you're after is going to perish, no matter what." And I'm trying to help you understand what you missed. You saw the feeding of the 5,000, and you missed it. So did my disciples, by the way. Now, in verse 27, I want you to go and labor for that meat, that food which endureth unto everlasting life, which lasts unto eternal life, which heads in the direction of eternal life. And by the way, which the Son of Man shall give to you. Now, I was just there, and I gave you bread and fishes. Did you understand? You were looking at the fish and the bread. You didn't look at the giver. You looked at the gift. Remember? We looked at the peace of God, and we looked at God, and the dove of peace flew into our heart. We looked at the dove of peace, and peace flew away. We lost God. The source. I had a good day. A bad day. I got my eye on the good day. I got my eye on the bad day. I took my eye off God. And remember, we aren't trying to have a roller coaster ride here like this. We aren't trying to do this with our life. And that's what most of us do. We get, yay! And then we get down, you know. Have this kind of thing. We should have this. This. So it doesn't matter whether you won or lost. Because you're looking to God, who makes all things work together for good, and knowing that everything you're looking at is going to what? Perish. Nothing? The basketball player? The football player? What are they going to do? Big trophy? Wow. And then what? They're there and they die. They die. And unless you want to bury their trophy with them, they die. It perishes. Everything perishes. You made the emphasis on the wrong thing. Now, labor, I'm the Son of Man. If you had looked to me, you would have got a message. Now here you are, I'm trying to help you. I am the Son of Man, and I'm able to give to you eternal life, which you don't understand. And by the way, just in case you missed it, verse 27, which the Son of Man shall give unto you for the cause, for him hath God the Father sealed. God the Father hath sealed. It sealed him. And in the Greek, they put the God at the end. The God hath sealed. The God. Emphasis. Understand who marked, who authorized, who certified, who authenticated, who said he's the one. God did. Said it. God said it. He's the right one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's the one. He is the one. And God the Father has confirmed it with signs, wonders, and the fish and the biscuits that you had should have helped you understand. Only God can do this kind of thing. But you weren't paying attention. Weren't paying attention. You missed. I have eternal life. I give unto you eternal life. Now in the light of that, I authorize it. Over to Acts chapter 10. God the Father hath sealed, certified, sanctioned. He's the one. He, God alone. God alone. You want to receive. To receive him is to receive God. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and receive God. Do you understand? Chapter 10. Why? My God. God, what have you done so mocking him? Chapter 10 in the apostles are going to bring to the people over and over again. Verse 38, 10, 3, 8, how God anointed Jesus, consecrated, set him apart. Jesus of Nazareth, how so? With the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The credentials are impeccable. And you guys are missing the whole boat. You missed the whole thing. You saw the show and you lost what it was about. Now, over if you would please. Over in your Bible, over to, John. Gospel of John. Gospel of John, please. And remember in chapter 6 and verse 27, we share together which eat, labor for the food, which endureth unto, it goes in the direction of eternal life, which the Son of Man is able to give you, and he is the legitimate, rightful one to give it. You want to know God, you'll have to know him. And in the process now, the food. So sliding your eye over, if I can, to 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. I'm the bread of life. Over, if you would please, to verse 48. I am the bread of life. We're going to say it over and over again. He's preparing them. He's preparing them for an awesome explanation of a wonderful, unique relationship God has made possible. And he has to help them because they just aren't there. Now, so over chapter 5 of John, verse 39. Chapter 5, and picking up, please, in verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, are they which testify, bear witness of me. It's the scriptures. So if you read your Bible, God, you gave it to us so that we would understand that you are God and you are something else, because no one else can write like this, talk like this, realistically look at life like this except you. So therefore, the scriptures tell of me. Now, scriptures, over at chapter 6, John chapter 6, please. And in John chapter 6, and if I can, in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Wonderful, wonderful words of life. Wow. Now, verse 68, words of life. And they're pregnant with life. I told you that 100 times. You and I can write sentences, but when God writes them, they are loaded. Seed. Seeds go in the ground, and seeds produce life. The little seed that you plant in the ground, the little seed changes. You could hardly see the seed. But boy, when it grows, wow! God's word is life. Seeds. And that's what we're looking for, that. We want to let it develop. Truth. And the truth will set you free. Now, verse 68. What did they say after all this? Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We got that much straight, God. We've got that much clear. We have it. Thus, God, a wonderful thing you've done. You've given us yourself and made it very clear. So, God, we may not know much, but looking at you, you help us understand what it's all about. It's all about you. Mm-hmm. The scriptures are all about God. So when I look to God, I'm going to have the advantage. I'm looking to God. And what are the scriptures going to do? They're going to help me understand the God that I'm looking to, aren't they? And I read them. I'm God conscious. And I read them. And I'm going to get exercised, excited about God in a good way. I am. And thus, dear friend, picking up, please, over in 1 John. 1 John, if I can. First John chapter 5 will do it for us. May I go, please, in 1 John chapter 5. Going to verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. We have newspapers, television, radio, all words, hearsay, we believe all kinds of things. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Why? For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, the witness, that God gave of his Son. This is the record, the witness, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He is the one sealed. He's the authorized. He's authorized by God to make it all happen. You reject him, you have no one to go to, because he is the one. The Son of Man has been authorized to give eternal life. Now, so he that hath the Son hath life, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I what? Written. Why'd you write them down? So we could read them right now. Right now you can read them. And you can read the same thing next week. And 2 weeks from now you can read the same thing. It says the same thing all the time. A year from now, 1,000 years ago, it said the same thing. 2,000 years ago, it said the same thing, as it were. It's the same thing. Now I'm going to read it. Everyone else can read it. I'm going to read it. And thus, these things have I written unto you, verse 13, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know it. Am I right? I'm going to pay attention. That God, are you the authorized one? The one that rose from the dead. That's right. Buried, risen again. That's the only sign I'm going to give you. And I want you to know, I'm the authorized one. So if I look to you, God, in Christ, the gospel, the Christ that died for me, I'm going to receive you as my Lord and Savior. That's right. If you do that, you're looking to the right person in the right way for the right thing. It's going to happen. And thus, the written, I'm going to know. I'm going to know that I have eternal life. I'm going to know that I'm trusting the Son of God, because that's what I'm doing. And if I trust the Son of God, then I have eternal life. Verse 20, we know that the Son of God is come, 5:20, and hath given us an understanding. Remember, he asked them, how come you don't understand? And have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, genuine, and are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This wonderfully is God and eternal life now. And therefore, I want you to keep in mind, though here we are, and we would be perishing. And you know from 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, 1 Corinthians 4, the outward man, the physical body you're in, is perishing. True? I'm going to help you. You know this. Your body, millions, trillions, we ought to be like the government, trillions of cells. protons, neutrons, electrons are all dying. Aren't they? Right now? Right now. In you, aren't they? In fact, they said, I never had double checked it, I guess so, it's still true, I don't know, new updated things. You know that you change every part of your body from your head to your toes every 7 years. Complete. You have a complete new body every 7 years, from head to toe. Your liver cells are all dying and reproducing. That's how your whole body is. We're perishing. You say I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. That's good. We're perishing. Everything is. The skin in your body? You know all this stuff. What do you call this skin? Is it alive or dead? It's dead skin, isn't it? You want the life stuff, the live, you got to pinch it and cut it. And then it oozes. But we like the appearance of the dead skin, not the oozy skin, right? Because it's dead. Dead. Wow. Perishing. And you're being renewed. Renewed. You're not going to perish. You are perishing, but you're not going to perish. Uh-huh. And your body is renewed moment by moment on the inside. Your wonderful relationship to God. And thus in our faith, what are we going to do? The trying of our faith. Trial, trouble, uh-huh. What's that going to do? It's going to prove what? That we understand we're perishing. It also understands that our trying of our faith is going to bring forth what the crowd didn't catch. The trying of your faith will bring forth that which doesn't perish. A unique personal relationship to God that is only stable, steady, and forever. Eternal life that never perishes. A relationship that can never end. Wow. And thus, First Peter 1:7, the trying of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. Gold perishes. So those of you who have in your vault, in the closet, the big bars of gold, you know, I don't know what you're going to do with them, but you got these big bars of gold in your closet. You're going to go and the gold's going to stay, and one day the gold's going to go. The same as everything. New heaven, new earth, new gold. Wow. That you would not perish. The crowd wanted to know, how did you get here? And the Lord said, you're asking the wrong question. You should ask why yourself you're here. And they asked the question, but they gave the wrong answer. We're here for our stomach and not our soul. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to roll up your sleeves and understand who I am, so that you understand that when you come to me, all that I do and all that I am for you will never perish. Never. Let me be to you eternity. I am eternal life to you. Christ, who is our life, you are that life. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, help us to understand a little bit about the world, the body in which we live in order that we might not miss out, getting caught up with solutions, getting caught up with dreams and wishes that are going to go only a little while, and then they disappear. God, thank you very, very much for all that we have and all that you are and all that you do. And for those who know you not as their personal Savior, God, may they receive you even now. Trust, allow you to be their God and their Savior. As you said, as many as received you, to them you give the right to become children of God, even to them that believe in your name. So God, do a work in their head and their heart. Help us very much even now. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. Perhaps we could sing a stanza or two. 548. 548.